kind of a shameless plug, really. Coming up over the next couple of weeks and months, so I'll be teaching the adult Bible class in here, and we'll be talking about spiritual warfare and all that that entails and everything that comes along with that. So I'd like to invite you to Bible class on Sunday mornings, and if you haven't been coming, this is to shame you. No, it's not that. Come on Sunday mornings if you can, and we'll talk about spiritual warfare. Also, over the next few months, I believe it'll be about 12 weeks. So we're going to be talking about 1 Corinthians. So that will be from the pulpit during our worship hour. Our next sermon series will be over 1 Corinthians. So just a couple of things for you to ready your minds over. Also, LTC is coming up, Leadership Training for Christ. If you haven't had your young ones sign up for that, please do. And if you would like to help with that in any way, I know that people would accept that that help. So just a few things as far as housekeeping are concerned. As your minister, I would like to help you ring in the new year by encouraging you. I want to give you some confidence, because I know that you're going to have some challenges. There's going to be some difficult things come your way. And so knowing that, I want you to know I've got your back. You need me, you can call on me. I'll be there. I think there's a few songs that say that. If you need me, call on me. So first of all, I want you to take a deep breath. Go on, take a deep breath. Let it out and repeat after me. I am a miserable failure. Boy, that felt good, right? Let's start the new year off right. Honey, we're finding a different church in 2024. Yeah, not encouraging at all. Serious question. How many fingers and toes do you have to use in order to count the number of times you set a goal and then failed to keep that goal? I'm going to tell you that I could use all of your fingers and toes and not be able to count the number of times that I failed at something, where I was actually set a goal and then didn't meet that goal. So much of the time, I have been a miserable failure. Now, generally speaking, it's not talking about just New Year's resolution. People have mentioned New Year's. They've mentioned New Year's resolutions. We talk about goals and new things to come for the new year. I don't know if you're a goal setter or not. But in generally speaking, not just your Bible reading, not just losing weight, get healthy, those are all the typical things. But what about a new job? What about a raise in your job or a promotion? What about house repairs? Saving up for that new car, getting out of debt. I've set that goal a lot of times. Somebody say amen on that one. We've set that goal, young people. Hey, we've got a good group of young people here. Good. There's some back there as well. Don't try to hide. Young people, what are your goals for this year? Better academics? Improved musicianship? I don't know if you're a musician. You want to be a better cheerleader? You want to be a better athlete? Whatever it is, what are your goals? Well, the fact is, and it's a hard truth, but most of the time you're going to fail. And people will tell you, successful people will tell you, that without failure, you cannot have actual success. That has to come first. So most recently for me, I had this bathroom thing going on. I mean, I was renovating a bathroom, not... I have that sometimes. But, I was renovating the bathroom. Jennifer asked me to do it. And I'm like, you know what? That would be a great Christmas present. So I was like, I will give you... I will renovate the bathroom for Christmas. I promised her that back in 2019. And I finally got around to it this year, to renovating the bathroom. Now, my plan was to do the floors, do some painting of the walls. And one thing that she really, really wanted was she wanted her cabinets painted. So we still have the stain on the cabinets, right? Well, that's no longer popular. So to go with new things, and she wanted to paint it a certain color. So glad to Christmas present. That way I don't have to do too much shopping and get the wrong size clothes and all that. And so I painted the walls, I painted the vanity, right? And it was the wrong color. And so I had to paint it again. But I'm still moving along, right? I go to the store, I get the flooring, I'm ready to do all that. But I thought, you know, the counter doesn't match. Like the vanity top, right? Like it's like contractor grade ugly. And so I wanted to get something pure white that would match everything and look good. And so I go to start pulling up on the vanity top that's in the bathroom. I didn't want this to happen, but I'm a beast. And so I lifted and lifted, and it snapped in half. I'm like, great, that's awesome. Well, they happen to use like floor glue or something on that thing to keep it attached, which you're not supposed to do. But anyway, I can't go back and wrestle those guys. So I'm trying to make this story as short as possible. You don't hear about my problem. And so I got rid of that thing, went to the store, got the new vanity top, opened the box. It's broken. Someone else besides me broke it. It's broken inside the box. Have to take that back. They don't have another one. No store in town has one. You know what I'm getting at. Everybody's been through this. Right? And so all that happens. Finally get a vanity top. But I notice, you know, the backsplash, which is tile, it doesn't match either. And so I start trying to get it off a wall, and the sheetrock starts coming with it. And so, yeah, there was a lot of failure that was going. Here's what that ended up looking like. I started with a bathroom that I was just going to paint, and then I ended up with this right here. That's the vanity top and the sheetrock that I had to cut out and all that. So I ended up having to do sheetrock work, which I'm terrible at, and all that. But it's on the road to recovery. I'm still not done yet. Merry Christmas, honey. You didn't have a bathroom for Christmas, but I'm working toward that eventually. Failure is a fact of life. It's reality. We are going to fail, but more the most important part is how we respond to that particular failure. It was Winston Churchill that said, success is not final, failure is fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And here's my favorite quote, also by Winston Churchill. Success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. I like that. Success is stumbling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. We got to keep on keeping on, right? Keep on keeping on. So, for your goals in 2024, set your goals high. Go get them. I want to encourage you. Even though you may fail, I want to encourage you to go and reach for your goals. Goals can keep us from being and feeling overwhelmed. Goals can give us a realistic timeline. You're not wandering around losing time. Wondering when you're going to accomplish things. Goals can bring clarity to the decision making. Achievement is important also to your mental health. And goals can give us purpose in life. So go get them. Go get your goals. Get some confidence. May not work out. May end up being a bathroom situation. But I want to encourage you in those things. So 2024 is going to be epic for you. Agreed? Come on, you got to have some confidence this morning. I already told you we're a miserable failure. We have to spice that up a little bit. But I want you to prioritize. As you set your goals, your 2024 is going to be awesome. I want you to prioritize. I cannot set your goals for you. And so as a preacher, I can't stand up here and here are the things you need to do. I can't do that, but God can, and He actually has set goals for us. I have just two of those for you today. I hope that you're going to write these down somewhere. Put them on your dashboard, on a sticky note. Paste them to your bathroom mirror or put them on your computer at work. There's two goals. They're not difficult. They're difficult to implement maybe, but not difficult to remember. All right? Not difficult to remember. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 4. You can follow along in your Bible. I'll have it up here on the screen if you'd like to follow along there. Great job reading the scripture this morning, by the way, Wyatt. So my Bible at the top of the heading has the new life. Well, that's what we need, that, right? We're talking about the new year, so we need and we're looking for a new and improved life. Paul says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles, futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding. They're alienated from life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. Tune in here. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, verse 24, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. He goes on, therefore, having put away all falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. And give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Final few verses. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give peace or grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Let's all the saints say, amen. Now, there's a lot there. I said I was only going to give you one or two goals to keep this year. I know there's a lot there, but we're going to keep it to two. The first is put off the old self. The second is put on the new self. Write them down. Put them on something. Let's talk about how we can do that. Discussion. This morning will revolve around those two particular things. Put off the old self, put on the new self. So, first of all, the old self. What does it mean to put off the old self? That means to cast it off. The literal word in the Greek means to renounce. It's the same word used in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, to cast off the darkness, the works of darkness, and put on an armor of light. Why do that? Why do we need to cast off or put off the old self? Paul says in Romans chapter 6, it's the old man that we're putting away. Why cast off the new self? And incidentally, kind of as a parenthesis, why doesn't it just happen at baptism? Right? Doesn't that just happen when we're baptized and then we don't have to worry about it anymore? Why does Paul seem to allude here that it's actually a process? But I think we can identify with that, can't we? That this is actually a process. But the reason why we have to put off the old self is because he or she doesn't fit in your new life. That person actually disrupts things and causes unneeded trauma and stress and difficulties. That person puts strain not only on my own heart, but that person puts strain on my relationships. Think back to him or her. That person actually was a liar. Notice what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. The old person, the old man, the old woman, they like to lie. That person tells fairy tales about what success may really look like. Here are some famous sayings of the old self. Maybe you can remember saying some of these. Maybe you're still fighting some of these. The ends always justify the means. I'll let you chew on these for a second. Recognize that one? I am the most important person in my life. That's a famous saying of the old self. One that we have to fight. Here's another famous saying. I don't need any help. Where's that independence coming out? If it feels good, do it. Recognize that one? Like, yeah, my old guy used to say that all the time. about this? That's not my fault. That's not my fault. That's a big one. We've said that a lot. I've heard that said. If you go back to verse 17 of this chapter, which we started reading at, you see Paul calls this a darkened understanding. That's what Paul calls it. He not only calls it a darkened understanding, meaning, in other words, you ain't thinking right. He also calls it a hardness of heart. We're not thinking right, and we don't have any interest of doing so. That was the old self. The old self, or the old you, didn't have realistic goals. Fame, riches, you know all of them. Immortality, independence, perfect health, all these things. The Bible tells us those things are, Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes, they're like grasping at wind. We see them, we desire them, we want them so badly, and we keep pining for those things, but they're unrealistic. Those are the goals of the old self. Now, some of those things aren't really intrinsically bad. I want my kids to reach and to pine after being financially stable and well off. I want them to have comfort in those things. I wouldn't mind if when they're in sports or whatever they're doing, I want them to try their hardest and go out to be the best. I'm not looking for mediocre kids, and I'm sure you aren't either. You're like, you don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, son, I just want you to be a nobody. You know? That would be fine with me. Like, hey, get up, go be somebody. Get up and go reach for the stars. Get up, set your goals, and go reach for those things. But what we must teach them, number one, is that there are priorities when it comes to that. Right? What is first on your priority list? Because the big thing is with the old self is that he or she did not have his priorities straight. Jesus said it a long time ago. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Our society is all about self-promotion, self-glorification, that idea of independence. You don't have to look far to see people preaching self. Me first, right? Me first. That's the message of society. Well, guess what? That rings to you. That makes sense to you because your old self had the same sermon. Me first. My priority is me. I want you to hear this. Goals are good. I want you to have goals. To my children, to the young people, to everyone here, goals are good. But if the pursuit of your goals requires you to be your old self in any way, those goals are not worth pursuing. If your goals requires you to go back and grab a little bit of that guy to be successful, then those goals aren't worth pursuing. He is to be put away, put to death. Right? Does that make sense? So that's our first goal. Put off the old self. He doesn't belong anymore. You have nothing in common with him. It has to get to the point where if I'm at a party and old me shows up, I'm like, hey, what's that guy doing here? I don't want to be here if he's going to be here. That's what it's got to be like. No more of him. Got to get to that point. Now, before we can get to our goal, we have to look at the glue that bond the two together. Right? Put off the old self, put on the new. But Paul says something just awesome right between them in verse 23. Verse 22, put off your old self. And then in 23, he says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Without this happening, the next thing cannot happen, right? This is the glue that holds our two goals together. Renewal is what we're looking for. in 2024. That's what we want, right? If you're setting a goal, or you've got a resolution of some sort, you're looking for renewal. Well, again, priorities-wise, it has to happen up here first. Like, we can do all the outward stuff, but eventually we will fail. If we don't decide in here, change this first, none of the rest of it's going to matter. Failure is certain. It has to happen here. This Greek word, be renewed, it carries the idea of a complete renovation. After you completely renovate a house, and I'm talking about maybe you knock out a wall, put in new paint, you tear up the carpet and put in hardwood, new light fixtures, new trim, you know what I'm talking about. You had to completely gut the house all the way. When you're done and you put new things in, it doesn't even look the same, right? And when you walk in, it's so different that it doesn't even feel the same. You walk in and say, this feels like a different house. Right? I feel like I'm at somebody else's home. It's not just an update. New furniture, you know, couple new chairs, paint a few walls. This is a complete renovation. Okay? It's a complete renovation. To be renewed in the spirit of my mind doesn't mean I upgrade to old self 2.0. Right? Old self 2.0 is not better than old self 1.0. He's worse. Okay? He's worse. That guy's thrown out. He's taken to the dump. There's no place for nostalgia. No place for hoarding. The old carpet is actually ugly. It's dirty, has stains. The light fixtures are from a past life. I've completely changed my mind now on how I want my house to look. I don't want it to look like that anymore. No more stained cabinets. Right? It needs to look different. So we're ready. Old junk's gone. New spiritual mindset. And I'm ready to put on the new self. Look at verse 24. Paul says that the new self doesn't even look like you anymore. Please get this. Put on the new self created after the likeness of God. The new self doesn't look like Shane anymore. Actually, the new self, he looks like God. That's the difference. The new self looks like God. He or she is created after the likeness of God, which is true righteousness and true holiness. No more lying to myself, convincing myself that all is good and that I'm good and everything's going to be okay, that I'll be able to work my way out of it and pull myself up by my own bootstraps. No more of that. Now there's honest examination. I can see things for what they really are. Where once was darkness is now light. Is shed on who Shane really is and the things that he actually needs to work on in order to live a life of true joy and peace. The new self has a different idea of interior design. The new self has different priorities, new reachable goals for the new self. So, different people have different tastes, if you will. I'm not saying that any of them are necessarily good or bad. Yours are probably different than mine. But do you ever walk into someone's house and think, I wouldn't have done that, right? You ever seen that before? You don't say it out loud, okay, guys? Don't say it out loud. There are a few of you in here that would, right? And Lord bless you. But don't say that out loud. I wouldn't have done that. But we have different ideas when it comes to interior design. It's time for our spiritual idea of interior design to come together. Because we no longer want it to look like something we created. The interior design is now an inner dwelling adorned with the beauty of my Creator. What are my priorities as my new self? Remember, kind of think back to the famous sayings of the old self that we talked about just a little bit ago. I want you to kind of think about those in contrast to what Paul is going to do here, right? And I'm going to go through these quick. But if you've got your Bible open, you'll be able to follow along. But in contrast to the famous sayings of the old self, these are new reachable goals, a different set of priorities. Now that we have a change of mind, we're pulling in new and better renewed things. It's out with falsehood and in with truth. Verse 25. Out with anger and in with joy. Verse 26. Out with the devil and in with Christ. Verse 27. Out with stealing and in with sharing. Verse 28. Out with gossip and cursing and slander, and in with encouraging speech and encouraging words, verse 29. Out with rejecting God's guidance and in with obedience, verse 30. Out with bitterness and fighting and in with kindness and forgiveness. You see that? So if you were wondering, like, what's the new self look like? He don't leave you hanging. That's what he looks like. Out with the old, in with the new. And friends, when you are done, the house looks different. It feels different. The new self can now set goals with the wind at his back instead of in his face, right? He can now be confident in the plans that he makes because he knows that God is with him. Whatever he or she plans to do, they do it with all the glory of God in mind, because they do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto the God and Father by him. You know, perhaps the most precious thing that we experience in our transformation from that old guy to the new guy, or old gal to the new gal, however you want to say it, probably the most precious gift we receive is that you're now able to experience the failure as miserable failure. Some of you said you were. I am. We're now able to experience that failure with a whole different outlook. Man, the old man took that hard. The old man took that hard. It drug him down. It pushed him down. He felt that his identity was wrapped up in his failure. It's who he or she became. But now, as we set these spiritual goals, we may never realize them, but our new mindset understands that failure actually results in grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's what awaits me as a new self. We will set worldly and fleshly goals, and we're going to fail to reach those. But the new mind understands that that does not define us. I know that I am not the sum of my failures. And that enables me to get back up, because I'm ready to allow the Lord to dust me off and set another goal. I'm a child of God, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I no longer rely on my own. So that's the ability of the new self. He has confidence. I hope you reach your goals for 2024. I truly will pray for your success and your resolutions. But make sure your pursuits are prioritized well. If you ask most Christians what their ultimate goal is, the typical response will be to get to heaven, right? Is that what came to your mind first? Like, what's your main goal? What's your ultimate goal? Oh, to get to heaven. And maybe if you're a deep thinker, you say, and to take as many people with me as I can, right? Now, this may be controversial to some. But if your ultimate goal is to get to heaven, you probably won't make it. Like, what are you talking about, Shane? If your ultimate goal, say it again so it hurts worse, If your ultimate goal is to get to heaven, you probably aren't going to get there. Now, my ultimate goal should be this. And I've got scriptural proof to back it up, and we're going to read that in a minute. My ultimate goal to be, or should be, to be like Christ. Just a closer walk with thee. Friends, heaven's on the other side of that, I promise you. Resurrection is on the other side of that, I promise you. But my goal should be a transformation. Because that's what God has wanted all along. He created us to be one thing, and we changed into something completely different. And from the beginning of time, the scheme of redemption wasn't just so that they could come to heaven. It was to get them to look like me again. To change who they are fundamentally, internally, spiritually. Let's have a goal to be like Christ. Listen to what Paul says here. And you may have a different understanding of this verse than I do. But listen close. And Wyatt read this for us a little bit ago. Paul said, not that I have already obtained this. Obtained what, Paul? Or am already perfect. But I press on to make it my own. Make what your own? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Now watch him. I press on toward the goal. That's what we're talking about this morning. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Some translations say heavenward, or put that word in there. Well, I don't like that. Because yes, eventually we are going to get to be with God forever in eternity. But that's not what he's saying here, folks. If you go back and read the entire context, Paul's talking about counting all things as loss for the sake of Christ. Being able to learn him and make Jesus his entire life. And then he says, I haven't obtained that yet, but that's my goal. My prize as a Christian is to get to that upward call. I know that may be difficult. I love the latter part of this. He says, let those of us who are mature think this way. The Bible says that. Open up to Philippians 3. I promise you it says that. Let those of us who are mature think this way. But, and in anything you think otherwise, you're doomed. You're just not worth the salt. You're not good enough to be a Christian. It doesn't say that. It says if you think otherwise, if your mind just isn't there yet, God will reveal that to you also. That's awesome. And you know, the truth is that we may not be there yet. Paul knew that he would be resurrected to live eternally someday. That when he set his life in motion to live for Christ, that was going to happen. But his ultimate goal was this, next level Christianity that resulted in eternal life. I don't believe a lot of us have that goal, guys. Next level Christianity. Again, this type of thinking is for the mature. Paul said, you may not be ready for that. Right? You may not be ready for that. And so in that case, since this is the way I live, I choose not to get married. There are many things in my life where I have chosen to completely focus on the gospel and bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. That this is the way I live my life. This is what I want. This is where I am in my walk with Jesus. You may not be there yet. You may only be ready for chapter 4. If all you can do for 2024, day 1, January 1st, if all you can do is rejoice in the Lord always and again, I say rejoice, then let that be your goal. That's one great step, friends. If all you can do is pray with all supplication to God, if that's one goal that you can set to remove the old self and bring in the new, let that be your goal. Start there. Start small. Renovating the house takes time, doesn't it? You're going to make mistakes along the way, tear things out you shouldn't tear out. Doesn't happen overnight. It's hard work. But God is with us. God is with you in 2024. If you have a need this morning, please come while we stand and sing together.